So, Thomas, can Utahns who oppose the Greater Canyonlands National Monument breathe easier?
Well, they might for now. There's been a kind of a running fear from some folks in Utah that President Barack Obama would name the Greater Canyonlands National Monument before Election Day as a way to kind of boost turnout from his base for fellow Democrats running for election. Right. We've talked about this before, and your listeners, I'm sure, know all about that. So Herbert said this week he has assurances the administration is not going to move that way. And it doesn't sound like the administration is too big of a hurry to name a monument in Utah. I will note, for history's sake, that the Clinton administration also said it wasn't working on a new monument pretty much right up until they named the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument back in the 90s. I think it was 1996 as Clinton was running for re-election. So, you know, it depends on how much you want to believe the administration now, I guess. We should know, too, there are plenty of folks out there who would rather the president act and name this monument than wait until development around the Canyonlands National Park. As far as I hear back here in Washington, I don't hear rumblings of anything happening. But then again, this is something that could be, you know, held secret for quite a while and right up till they say, hey, by the way, this is happening.
You know, it's interesting because I actually overheard a conversation some people were having at a restaurant, and they both believed, because of newspaper headlines, that the monument idea was dead forever, that as a result of the message that Governor Herbert had been given, that this was never going to happen. But that's not the case, right?
You know, I don't think we could go with that kind of assurance on this one. You know, it may be that the monument may not be announced this year, but the president has been very clear that he plans to name more monuments. In this broken town of Washington, one of the only things that the president really can do without Congress or executive authority is, you know, use the law he has, which is naming national monuments, which he doesn't even need an executive order for. He can just, you know, with a sign of his signature, make it happen. So, you know, it may not happen this year, but it still may happen.
We look at unilateral authority. It's something that people complain about, but there are certain circumstances where that is part of what the president is able to do, right?
Yeah, well, Congress gave the president this authority in 1906, I believe, and it's limited a few times over the years, but it's never repealed the law that says, hey, Mr. President, here you go. This is something you can do without us.
We'll see what happens. I guess you never know. Maybe we'll have a surprise announcement. Maybe it's on the back burner and we'll just have to wait and see.
I'll keep an eye out, I promise.
We could open up a pool. Maybe not. Okay. Thomas, in other news, President Barack Obama, he's nominated a new judge from Utah to the federal court. Can you tell us a little bit about the nominee?
So Jill Parrish is a Utah Supreme Court justice. It has been since 2003 when Governor Leavitt appointed her to the high court for the state. And last night, Obama named her with a slate of six others to serve in federal courts across the country. Justice Parrish would be the second female judge on the federal circuit for Utah, joining Judge Tina Campbell. And it looks like she's got support so far from both Senators Orrin Hatch and Mike Lee. If she's confirmed, she'll replace Judge D. Benson, who's taking senior status, though from what I understand, he still has a full caseload, so it's not like he's really in retirement or anything like that. The one thing, she shouldn't be packing her bags to, or packing up her office to move to another spot just yet, because Congress is pretty much gone, and they're not really going to act on nominations we expect until 2015. There's already a backlog of other judges, but she's in the queue.
You know, those kind of confirmation, are those kind of confirmations difficult to get, or are we seeing a more streamlined process on confirmations of judicial appointees, for example?
It doesn't sound like she's very controversial by any means, so that makes it a little easier. The fact she has support from both home state senators is a big deal, and she's not being nominated for a court that people look at as a springboard to the Supreme Court. You know, if this was a D.C., you know, circuit court, then that'd be a little different. But this is, you know, this is a federal judgeship in Utah. She's got support from everyone, it seems, so far. So it doesn't seem like she'll face a problem unless it becomes a complication of another judge that somehow, put into the same bailiwick as her when they're putting it through the Congress.
Right. Okay. So that could complicate matters. You said Justice Parrish, she is on the Utah Supreme Court currently.
Yes, she is. Yep. She's a current Supreme Court justice. And from what it sounds like, well-respected by her colleagues and other attorneys. And I think I've met her once, and she seems incredibly bright.
You know, her seat will be left vacant. I know that Ronald Nearing is retiring as well. So Governor Gabriel Herbert will have two state Supreme Court seats to fill. Do we know anything about what he might do with those vacancies?
Well, hopefully he'll fill them, but I don't know who with so far. But, you know, that's a big move for the governor to be able to add two people to the Supreme Court in the state is means he gets to really put his mark on what the court will be for, you know, could be decades.
Thomas, you're there in Washington and Congress is jetting out of the city until after the elections. Is that a good thing?
Well, I guess they can't do much damage when they're not here, so probably. you know, it's an election year, so they're all flying home to campaign, or in the case of folks like Hatch and Lee, who aren't up for re-election, to help out other candidates across the country. But they are gone. The House literally just adjourned, an hour ago until, I think, November 12th. So they're gone for quite a while. The Senate, similar. But they did at least, thankfully, before they left, pass a temporary budget. The budget right now would expire October 1, but they passed a temporary budget that gets us up to December 11th. So we're no government shutdown right now. But we are going to be back in the situation we've been facing for years now, where December they're going to have to fight over, are they going to pass another, you know, stopgap thing? Are they going to try to do a big omnibus bill? I have to say that kicking the can is quite a national sport here in Washington.
Definitely is. You know, are a lot of these candidates going out and fundraising for congressional races, for House seats, for example, around the country?
Yeah, in fact, I mean, Senator Hatch has done quite a bit of that. I know Senator Lee as well for some of his candidates. Hatch is still, you know, part of the National Republican Senatorial Committee. I think he's still vice president there. So he's done a lot to, you know, make sure that or try to help the Republicans take back the Senate this year and is going to be, you know, on the campaign trail helping that because, you know, obviously it would benefit himself personally and his party to have control of both chambers of Congress.
You know, speaking of campaign trails, John Huntsman is once again being talked about as a presidential candidate in 2016. What does the former Utah governor have to say about that?
Well, he's not saying no, but he's not really saying yes either. So earlier this week, BuzzFeed reported that Huntsman had been talking to some supporters about a possible third party bid. In 2016, I spoke with the governor. I grabbed him at an event here in Washington yesterday and asked him, you know, and asked him, you know, is he planning a third party bid? Is he going to run for president in 2016? And his stock answer has been, you know, never rule anything out. There's always things that can happen in politics, but he's not fundraising. He's not hiring staff. He's not, you know, developing policy statements for, you know, what he's going to do if he were president. So he really envisions himself in 2016 on the sidelines. And part of that is this effort he's doing with a group called No Labels, which is bipartisan. You get Republicans, Democrats, members of Congress, local officials like State Senator Kurt Bramble and Sully County Mayor Ben McAdams, who are trying to come together and say, okay, here's a problem. Say, here's immigration. How do we, you know, get together on this? Because we're already, you know, close on 90% of it. How do we, you know, finish out that other 10% and work together and compromise and trust each other that we can actually get something done? And Huntsman's idea is in 2016 that he would be, you know, someone on the sidelines who's helping, you know, figure out and scope the presidential messages that the candidates have.
You know, I just think about that third party bid idea. I know that Huntsman has differed with his, you know, with the Republican Party in the past, but is that a bit of an optimistic thing to try and do?
Well, I did ask him specifically, you know, does he still consider himself a Republican? And he said yes. And he does say he wants to reform the Republican Party from the inside. But yeah, you're correct, Roger. A third party bid is incredibly difficult. We've obviously seen it, you know, several tries before. But you when you don't have a big party, one of the major two parties, that means you don't have the infrastructure, you don't have the huge team, you don't have the supporters already lined up, the donors ready. You really, almost in this day and age, need those kind of supporters and that party structure to get any traction. So a third party bid would be very difficult. However, I should note, you know, on the positive side, there are a lot of people out there who are not happy with the Republicans or happy with the Democrats and be happy to support somebody who's a little different.
I'm sure that that is, of course, the case in many instances. Thomas Burr, Washington correspondent for the Salt Lake Tribune, as always, we really appreciate your taking the time to fill us in on the goings-on there in D.C.
Always, Roger. Thank you.
Thomas Burr joins us weekly for this conversation, and you can find a link to Political Cornflakes on our website, kcpw.org.